Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Friday on this 27th day of May, 2022. And I just want to thank everybody at the Banner of Truth for the warm, enthusiastic welcome I received at the Banner of Truth East Coast Ministers Conference, which took place Tuesday through Thursday of this week, which is why I was running reruns those days. I was greeted by so many in attendance at the conference whom I have never before met or heard from, who are thanking me for how much this program means to them. I was overwhelmed by it. I was truly humbled by it and was praising God for it and for the encouragement God gave me through those wonderful words of greeting from so many of you in attendance. And if you're listening today, I just want to thank all of you for that. You'll never know how much that encouragement means to me and how much a part of that encouragement basically drives me to continue hosting this program. And it seems that every year when I attend these conferences across the country to represent Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, more and more and more people who are in attendance at these conferences all over the United States approach me, have to recognize me, and thank me for the show. In fact, that's especially true with Banner of Truth. The first year I was there, it was probably only a few people in attendance who thanked me, who recognized me and thanked me for the program. This time around, it was 20 or more, at least, who approached me, and I just thank God for it. And I highly recommend the Banner of Truth conferences. They have them on the West Coast as well, and they have them in the UK. Just go to banneroftruth.org, banneroftruth.org, to find out more about these events and about this publishing ministry that publishes some truly extraordinary books from the past and present. Well, today, speaking of books, Mike Gadosh, the founder of Solid Ground Christian Books, solid-ground-books.com, who sponsored this program, Mike Gadosh contacted me several weeks ago, and he said, you've got to get Kevin Olson on your program. And I always take Mike's recommendation very seriously. He was once my pastor. He actually baptized me in the 1980s. And I have always highly respected his discernment, his opinion, and his friendship. Well, I immediately contacted Kevin Olson, who Mike recommended. Thanks be to God, Kevin agreed to be on the broadcast, and he is on with us today for the very first time ever on this program. He was once an all-state high school basketball player who became paralyzed from the shoulders down as a result of a diving accident, which anyone who knows Johnny Erickson Tata knows that that's exactly what happened to her. And we're going to be addressing Kevin Olson's book, Learning to Live With It, and it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Kevin Olson.
Hey, good afternoon, Chris.
Well, Kevin, we have a tradition here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Whenever we have a first-time guest, before we get into the heart of the theme that we intend to discuss, we always have that guest, if he or she is on for the first time, give a summary of their salvation testimony, and that would include the kind of religious atmosphere, if any, they were raised in, and the kind of providential circumstances their sovereign Lord raised up in their lives that drew them to himself and saved them. And that would include you today, Kevin. So please give us a summary of your salvation story.
All right. Well, thank you for the opportunity to be here and to share this story today. It's interesting how God will prepare you for things, because I've actually been thinking quite a bit about the time when I became a Christian. And then I was just thinking about the incredible miracle that happened, you know, on the inside of a person. I can remember my dad one time after a year or two after I'd become paralyzed. You know, we were wanting a physical miracle, and he said, you know, the greatest miracle that's happened in my son, and I overheard him telling somebody else this, is what has happened on the inside of it. And he was talking, you know, about the ability to be able to, I guess, learn to live with or accept the paralysis. But, you know, I don't think any of that would have been possible in the way that it has, had I not, you know, as a seven-year-old boy at the little old country church in Kansas that I grew up in, had I not heard the gospel message and then responded in such a way to where I realized that I was a sinner, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin, and that he wanted to be my Savior and be my Lord. And so I realized and recognized my need to accept him at a young age at a vacation Bible school. And from that time on, you know, I believe that God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, has lived in me and has been working in me. Obviously, you know, there's been times where I kind of, you know, rebelled during those teenage years and tried to go my own way, but I feel like God, like a loving father, has just always, you know, been there, never given up on me, and I've doubted his love for me that he expressed through Christ. You know, sometimes I talk to people and they're like, well, how do we know that God loves us? How do we know that he loves me? Like, well, he expressed his love in such a way that when we were yet sinners, you know, Christ died for us. That's how God chose to show his love to us, in, you know, in just one way. And so, you know, I realized that at a young age, and I'm just so grateful that was a part of my life, going to church and hearing the Word of God from a very young age. I think that is an incredible story, just in the way that it happened. About 3 years before I was born, our preacher, who at the time didn't even have a church, he just felt called, and was driving down a country road in the middle of Southeast Kansas. If you've never been to Southeast Kansas, it's farm country, and there, you know, it's just a house about every mile or so once you get out in the country in this area. And he was just driving along, praying, asking God for direction, and he came across a little empty church building, and he drove up the lane, and he found my great grandma, who just threw her hands up and said, praise the Lord, when he came and said that he wanted to start a church, because there was a empty building there on her farm that she was just praying that somebody would come and start a church there. So my mom, who grew up in that neighborhood, that country area there, we were all farmers. Her parents and my dad's parents were farmers, and we became farmers as well. They all grew up in that area, and they started going to church there. And then when I was about 3 years old, we bought a farm that was right adjacent to that church building. And so we started going to church there, and it was just incredible how God prepared the way for me to be able to hear the gospel message and then give me an opportunity to respond to it. And like I said, the greatest miracle that's happened in my life has been what's happened on the inside. And I can remember the day I came home from that vacation Bible school. I was outside playing in the yard, swinging on our old swing set, and I can remember it just like it was yesterday. I went in and I told my mom, I said, Mom, I feel like a new man. And I had no idea really what I was saying and didn't grasp the depth of, you know, what happened. The Holy Spirit came to live inside of me. I'm sure I understood it to a certain extent, but not the way that I do now. But I did. I told her, Mom, I feel like a new man. So that was the beginning of my relationship with God there. And it's just been a blessing and helped me out so much throughout my life.
Well, praise God. And so tell us about those days as a high school star athlete, a student that graduated at the top of your class. And since you're not Joe Biden, I believe you. if you could tell us about those days before the accident, what your life was like, what your friendships were like, what your interests were like, whether you were a truly committed Christian at that time, or, you know, just explain more about what was your mindset, your dreams, and your likes and dislikes during that time.
Well, yeah, I was a sports lover. I mean, I loved baseball and basketball. I kind of got that from my dad because he was the same, and he kind of pushed me in that direction. But he also spent a lot of time with me, teaching me how to play and how to work hard, and I had grandparents around that were, you know, supportive of me there too. So I learned a lot of things about how to work hard in sports, and we also worked a lot on the farm, and so there was always cows and pigs, and we raised wheat and milo, soybeans, and put up a lot of hay. So we had, you know, a lot of chores to do, pigs to feed, and that kind of thing. So there wasn't really a lot of time to, you know, just be lazy, I guess. But during those days of growing up, I wouldn't trade those for anything now, because I feel like they shaped me in a lot of ways to make me who I am today. But I'd say, as far as spiritually, once I got to be about 13 years old, I was more interested in friends, and probably 14 or so, became more interested in, you know, what girl was cute and that type of thing. But kind of just told God that, you know, there were some things I wanted to do with my life, and I wanted him in my life, but I wasn't quite sure that I wanted him in the driver's seat, if you know what I mean. So I tell people that I really just didn't know that I wanted him in charge, because there were some things that I wanted to do. I had some hopes and dreams. You know, I think every kid dreams of being a professional baseball player or basketball player, and you know, not very many people get to do that. And I realized throughout my teenage years that probably wasn't going to be a reality for me. But it was still an important part of my life, and I did try to work hard at it, and I enjoyed it a lot, being an athlete. But once I got into college, you know, I wanted to be an accountant at first, and ironically, I didn't continue with accounting, because I thought, you know, there's no way I could sit still long enough behind a desk every day to be an accountant. So maybe I should have stuck with that, because sitting still, you know, at a desk is pretty easy for me to do nowadays. But I started college just thinking that, you know, I wanted to get married, get a job, and just have a farm of my own, and just kind of build a life of my own. And it was, I think, that desire to be independent is kind of what drove me at that point in my life. And really, I didn't even realize that in my desire to be independent and out on my own, I was kind of also telling God, you know what, I can handle this on my own. I want to do my own thing, and really didn't lean on him for a whole lot of direction. It was more of a, you know, I want you along in my life in case I get in trouble, but don't tell me a whole lot about what to do and how to live my life.
So what were the circumstances surrounding your diving accident? I'm assuming that you were out for some recreational swimming, and I don't know if it was in a swimming pool or in the bay or ocean or a lake, but you likely, I'm assuming, dived into shallow water unbeknownst to you, but tell us about that.
Well, here in southeast Kansas, we have a lot of reservoirs that we can go and boat in, water ski in, swim in, that type of thing. And I remember about 10 years old, my grandparents bought a boat, and they took us water skiing for the first time. And I didn't think I liked it very well. And it took a few times to really get to the point where I could do it. In fact, on the day that I did actually learn to water ski, I had told my dad and my parents that I wasn't going to try again. And he actually picked me up out of the boat, threw me in the water, and said, you are going to try this again. So, I actually water skied that day for a half mile or so without falling down. And, I came home and told my grandparents, how much I loved it. And, so we ended up going to the lake quite a bit, as a kid and through the teenage years. And this one particular lake we went to was in Toronto, Kansas, which is in the southeast corner. But it's, it's one of those things where by 19 years old, they were letting me take the boat and take a few friends and go. And so I can remember it was a Sunday after church that three of the guys that I hauled A with, worked with out on the farm, we loaded up and went out to the lake, and I think one of them took a jet ski, and another guy took his motorcycle, and I took the pickup in the boat, and we were just out there having a good time. We weren't doing anything we weren't supposed to be doing, no drinking, no drugs, no anything like that. Just out having a good time. We stayed the night that night. We didn't even think, far enough ahead to take food and things that we'd actually need for a camping trip. Just a few 19-year-old guys, with a wild idea to go stay the night at the lake. And we woke up the next morning, and I can remember just being a beautiful day. I mean, the sun was coming up. It was July in Kansas. You could tell it was going to be a hot day. We had some work to do later that day on one of the ranches where we hauled hay. And so we knew we just had a couple hours to spend there, and I woke up and thanked God for giving me that day, and we hit the lake and went out and jet skied, water skied a little bit, and I'd been trying to learn how to barefoot ski, and that day I told myself I was going to do it, and I knew if I worked hard at it and tried enough that I would be able to do it. And it's kind of my approach to many things in life back then, but I went out, and I remember that I got behind the boat. My friend Trent was driving. I yelled go and grabbed a hold, the rope tight and closed my eyes. The next thing I knew, I'm scooting across the water barefoot skiing about 40 miles an hour. And I don't know if any of you have ever done that or tried that, but it's a pretty amazing feeling. It makes you feel invincible, like you could do anything. And then I tell kids, at 19 years old, a young man really doesn't need a whole lot of encouragement to feel invincible.
That's right.
That's kind of how I felt that day, and just felt like nothing could ever happen to me that I couldn't handle. And just a matter of, an hour later, we were packing up the equipment to go home, and I got in my truck, pulled the trailer over to the boat ramp, and I backed it down into the water, got out of the truck, and started to walk around to where we had camped, because that's where the boat was at. So the campsite and the boat ramp was, probably a couple hundred feet away from each other. But there was a boat dock right in between the two. And I saw that boat dock and thought, I could just run and dive off of there and swim over to where the boat was, grab the boat, drive it over onto the trailer, load it up, and, off we go home and back to work. Well, I ran and I dove off that dock without ever thinking of the consequences. And, being a kid who'd been to that lake hundreds of times, I just automatically assumed that the water was going to be about the same depth that it normally was, which is 4, 5, 6 feet deep. you know, enough to do a swimmer's dive and just keep going without hitting the bottom. But on that particular day, the water was only about 2-3 feet deep.
Wow.
And the water in Kansas and those type of lakes is not clear, so you can't see the bottom. So I ran and dove, and I remember it sounded like somebody just took a shotgun and pulled the trigger right beside my head.
Wow. A
loud snap and pop, and the bones inside my neck, the fifth vertebrae, just, the doctor said it shattered into thousands of pieces.
Wow.
And my spinal cord was just severed immediately. So I lay there, and as I'm laying there, I'm thinking, I need to roll myself over. I knew something had happened. Something was really wrong.
Now, were you under the water at this point?
Yeah, I'm face down in about 3 feet of water, and I'm trying to tell my arms and my legs, you know, to move so I can roll myself over to breathe, and I couldn't get my arms and legs to respond.
Wow. And I'm assuming that your friends then realized this guy's not coming up. Is that what happened?
Yeah, there were a couple of them that were over by the campsite, and the other one was loading up his jet ski pretty close to where I'd backed the pickup and the trailer down into the water. But I wasn't really sure if they had watched me or if they saw me. As I'm laying there face down, holding my breath, obviously, you know that feeling you get when you're underwater and you're trying to hold your breath for as long as you can before you come up. That's kind of what it felt like, only I couldn't come up. And I began to think really quickly about a lot of different things. My life just kind of flashed before my eyes, like they say. I thought about my family and my friends and all the things that I had done and the things I wanted to do. And I tell people that I probably sounded, you know, a little bit more like an attorney begging, you know, for the judge not to enforce some kind of a penalty on the, you know, on a client, more than I did praying, more than it sounded like I was praying. But, you know, I was just begging God, you know, give me a chance to live, and tell him I didn't want to die. I held my breath for as long as I could, sucked in a bunch of water, held my breath for as long as I could again, sucked in more water, and really thought that was going to be the end. And I remember I felt like Jonah, maybe in the belly of the whale. And there's a verse in there that I can always relate to where it says, his soul fainted and he remembered the Lord. And I always wonder if maybe after a couple of days of trying to get out of the belly of that whale, if when his soul fainted, if he didn't just give up and say, you know what, okay, God, here I am. I'm not going to be able to get out of this problem unless you help me. And that's kind of how I felt. And that's what I told God. I was like, God, I need your help. I said, I don't want to die. Will you help me? And it wasn't much longer after that I heard water splashing around me. And the guy who was loading up his jet ski, he jumped in and he rolled me over. And he'd had enough training to know that I'd probably had a head or neck injury, just to roll me over and hold me stable in the water while the other guys went to call the ambulance.
Now, was this one of your friends, or was it just some stranger who happened to meet providentially nearby?
No, it was a friend that was with me. We worked together, you know, out on the farm for a couple summers in a row. So it was all three were good friends that were there with
me. Wow. Well, we're going to be returning after our first break. And if anybody has a question for Kevin, please send it to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you are dealing with a disability or a serious illness, or someone that you love is, and you're probably going through some kind of a conflict of faith. Maybe some of you have even lost your faith and you don't want to identify yourself at this point. Well, I understand reasons like that would compel you to remain anonymous, but if it's just a general question, please give us at least your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence, and don't go away. We're going to be right back with Kevin Olson right after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here, excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading to Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference on the theme, Just Thinking About the Bible. The conference will be held Thursday, September 15th through Saturday, September 17th, and I'll be speaking along with Stephen Lawson, Josh Weiss, founder of G3 Ministries, and Daryl Bernard Harrison and Virgil Walker, co-hosts of the Just Thinking podcast. To register, visit g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and click on Events. Your registration will include a ticket to the Museum of the Bible nearby the conference venue in Washington, D.C. So join me and Chris Arnson September 15th through the 17th in Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference. Register now before they run out of seats at g3min.org, that's g3min.org. Stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck at First Baptist Church in Lyndale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
As a mother, I was looking for a magazine that would include devotionals that I could quickly do before school and had theology and doctrine made very simple for children to understand that they could read themselves or I could walk them through. There's tiered content so that you can go to the older group and learn more or go to a younger section and it's even more simple. Join us on our journey in developing our magazine entitled Ignited by the Word, which engages and ignites the hearts of our children and young people in their walk with God. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free and put good literature in your children's hands.
Attention all men in ministry leadership. You're all invited to my friend Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon, Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, featuring me, James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, your keynote speaker. Not only will you enjoy a wonderful time of fellowship with your colleagues in ministry over a delicious meal, but you'll also receive dozens of free brand new books donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom, personally selected by Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So if you're a pastor, an elder, a deacon, a parachurch leader, or any other man in ministry leadership, please register for the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon today by calling 631-291-7002. 631-291-7002 or by visiting ironsharpensironradio.com, ironsharpensironradio.com. This is James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries hoping to see you Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania for Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon.
And I hope as many of you men in ministry leadership who are listening will register to attend. I look forward to seeing you there. We're now back with our guest today, David Olson, and he is a quadriplegic. He is a Christian, first and foremost, and he is, I'm sorry, I said David Olson, I'm sorry, it's Kevin Olson. I was just remembering that I had to return the call of a friend named David. Kevin Olson. Who is the author of Learning to Live with It. And if you'd like to ask a question of Kevin, send it to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And before we get to some of our audience questions, I just have several more of my own. First of all, what was your immediate reaction after the initial shock of all of this settled and you became fully aware of your subsequent medical condition, physical condition, as a result of your injuries, and how early on after your accident, this tragic accident, did you hear from your physicians that you will likely be a quadriplegic for the rest of your life?
Well, when they took me to the emergency room from the lake via the ambulance, we got there, and one of the things they wanted to know was, do you want us to call your mom? And, of course, I was like, no, don't call my mom, because I was going to be fine. You know, I was going to walk out of there.
Wow.
Had a bad headache or whatever. And I was kind of going back and forth in and out of, I wasn't unconscious, just in a daze, I guess. But they did some x-rays there and decided to send me to Kansas City. And of course, obviously they did call my mom at some point in there, because both her and my dad showed up in Kansas City at the hospital. So, they really didn't tell me a whole lot first two or three days. It was just a bunch of tests and x-rays. And I'm sure they probably told my parents more than they told me, but I don't really remember a lot of those first couple days. But it was probably about a week after I got there that I kept telling them, I'm going to walk out of here. And the doctor came in one day and he said, I'll never forget it. His name was Dr. Olson. He said, son, he said, we've done everything we can to, you know, fix the bones in your neck, and we rebuilt that broken vertebrae, and we fused C4, 5, and 6 together. He said, but your spinal cord is severed. And he said, chances are you'll never be able to walk again.
Wow.
And that's I think, when it first hit me that, wow, this was a pretty serious deal. The consequences, you know, were a little bit more severe than what I really realized that they were going to be. And obviously, you know, at that age, and being a 19-year-old that wanted to be independent, that was kind of my main goal in life at that point. Being confined to a bed and told I was not going to be able to get out of it was not what I wanted to hear. Nobody plans on or hopes and dreams, you know, about being paralyzed and having those kinds of limitations. So, you know, I was devastated. I was depressed, discouraged. But, you know, I didn't really have a whole lot of choice at that point other than just to, to try to find a way to accept it and try to find a way to deal with it. And I cried a lot. I had a lot of questions for God. My family and friends and people, you know, were there to try to help support me and try to, you know, tell me things like I can do all things through Christ, and Romans 8:28, that we know God works all things together for good, them that love him are called according to his purpose. But to be honest with you, I really didn't see how God could have any of this work any of this out for good. So I was really just kind of negative there for a little while, and kind of quiet, and just waited, you know, hoping that things would get better. Maybe the doctor was wrong, you know.
Now, as far as your faith is concerned, things like this have been a testing ground for many countless individuals throughout history. Those that have professed to be Christians, but in reality were not. On occasion, this really, as it were, separates the men from the boys, as the saying goes, where they will begin to immediately or soon after hate God, reject God, abandon their faith. You have some that in an unbelievably short period of time, their faith even goes stronger than it ever was. And then you have those that it will be a sort of a combination of the two. They are truly regenerate. They are among God's people in truthfulness. But they do go through a season of total discouragement, perhaps even anger with God, but they never reach the point of apostasy. They never reach the point of cursing and abandoning God. And eventually it makes their faith stronger and their lives even better than they imagined. So where in that spectrum were you? Obviously you didn't abandon the faith, but among the latter two descriptions, and perhaps you even have a different category of your own that you'd like to share, but where were you when it came to your reaction as a Christian?
Well, you know, it was hard to accept and understand, but I will tell you that for about 6 months before I before the accident happened, which happened in July of 1991, it had been a period of time in my life where I was doing a little bit of soul searching, and I, like I said, I did want God in my life. And so, I knew that I needed him in my life. After this happened, and lying there in the hospital bed, I really kind of came to the conclusion pretty quickly that if I gave up on God, that I'd really have nothing left at all. I felt like I'd been stripped of everything that really had made me, you know, the self-worth I got from working and being an athlete and that type of thing, I was gone. And so I knew that I didn't want to turn my back on God, didn't want to give up on him. But the process of, I guess, accepting and being able to see that God could work something out for good in such a way, you know, that would glorify him kind of came over time, and definitely not immediate, because there was a little bit of time there. I was bitter and angry and had a lot of questions for God. And I suppose, you know, that I guess just the words that I had received as a little kid, you know, when the doctor came in and said, I'd never walk again, one of the first things that popped in my mind was the promise of how that, you know, when we get to heaven, we're going to get new bodies. They'll never get sick, never grow old, never wear out. And so I understood that, and I knew that, and I just kind of clung to that hope. And, you know, I knew that even if the very worst thing happened to me after this accident happened, because there were some moments when I got pneumonia and some complications from, you know, sucking in all that lake water and not being able to breathe on my own, being on the ventilator, not being able to talk, not being able to eat, that, you know, my life just kind of was pretty fragile, kind of hung in the balance there for a while. So, you know, I felt like if I gave up on God, then I would really, truly have nothing left. So I didn't want to give up on him. And I tell people that I just kind of decided at some point that, God, I don't know where we're going here, but I'm going to trust you.
Praise God. We have a listener from Findlay, Ohio, Cindy, who says, hello, Chris and Kevin. Thank you, Kevin, for being a guest on Chris's show and sharing your story. I look forward to the rest of the show and hearing how God has worked in you and through you for his glory. My question is, I assume at one point, and maybe even on a somewhat ongoing basis, you have struggled with pride in one sense, which would be this. Some find it difficult to rely on others for help and assistance in many areas of life. And I would assume that the same would be true in your case. How has God worked in you? I think it would take much humility for a strong man to realize and accept his dependence on others. It would be quite the maturing process. Wow, that's a profound question that I don't think I would have thought of myself. So, what's your response to that?
Well, first of all, I appreciate the question, and I'd say that whoever asked that question definitely has some insight into what it would take, because it is tough to wake up every day being faced with the fact that you can't even get out of bed unless somebody shows up to get you out of bed. You can't even get a drink or scratch your nose or, you know, do anything unless there's somebody there to help you do it. Talk about a contrast from being a 19-year-old independent guy to, you know, a guy who is totally dependent on everything. And talk about a way to, squash a young man's pride, you know. But, you know, looking at it now, I'm 50 years old. And I just tell it like it is. God hates pride, and he wants us to depend on him for every little thing in our lives. And looking back on it now, I can see through the whole process that, you know, yeah, sometimes pride still pops up in my life. But, man, it has taught me to depend on him in such an amazing way.
Amen. And Cindy concludes her email, "And even though it may be trying and taxing on caregivers, I think I personally would see it as an opportunity to show great sacrifice and love. What are your thoughts on all those things?" And she's specifically in that part of her email addressing caregivers.
It is an amazing way for people to show love and support to me by coming over and doing things that I can't do for myself. They are essentially my hands and my feet on a daily basis. It's a way that I've found that people have served me. And through watching people serve me, I feel like it's even challenged me to be a better servant to others and to God in a way that I can. So, you know, God gives us opportunities all the time to serve him and to serve others. And I've been blessed to have a lot of caregivers who do look at it that way, to where they're given an opportunity to serve God by serving me. Now, I haven't always liked the fact that, you know, for whatever reason, God's put me in that position to be the one being served, because I think God, what a great thing it'd be if I could get out of this wheelchair and everybody see this wonderful miracle. It is what it is, and God has worked, and I continue just to trust that he knows what is best for my life, and definitely blessed by the people who have come alongside and helped me. I'm married today to a wonderful woman who has, you know, committed her life to being here for me every day as well. So that's a
hallelujah. Now, did you, by God's providence, by God's wonderful, gracious providence, meet this woman before or after your accident?
You know, we met before. After my eighth grade year of school, I went to a summer basketball camp with a couple of my other eighth grade teammates, and we happened to run into this young lady from a different town, and she says that I kind of blew her off or snubbed her off at basketball camp. But I also told her that at that point in my life was about basketball, and I wasn't too interested in girls, but I did tell her that she's the only girl that I remembered from the camp. So, we did meet then and kind of cross paths a couple times throughout the next couple, 3 or 4 years because of basketball, and then reconnected about 12 years ago after many years of being paralyzed. We reconnected and then dated for about 4 years, and then I proposed on the beach in St. Augustine, and we got married.
Well, that is something definitely to praise God for. Not only you, who obviously is praising God more than anybody for that blessing, but it is such an encouragement, even as an outsider, to hear of God's goodness to you in that regard.
Yeah. Because that was one of those things that, you know, when my accident happened, I thought, you know, there's no way that I was ever going to be able to be married. But it's just been an amazing thing.
Well, that should be also a reason for hope for many of our listeners who may be struggling with depression, loneliness, even bitterness, that they are single much longer than they want to be, and that God will provide, if that is indeed his will. Obviously, it's not his will that every person be married. But with God, there is always reason for hope and to rejoice in any circumstance he places us in through his providence and sovereignty. And that's just such wonderful news. We have another listener, Ronald in Eastern Suffolk County, Long Island, who says, I understand that your title of your book is Learning to Live with It. That is a very bold title, but you are the one in the circumstance of being paralyzed. Don't you think that those of us who are listening need to be extremely cautious and careful and tender and compassionate before using that kind of a phrase to those who have found themselves in the tragic condition that you found yourself in? For us to blurt out, learn to live with it, to someone might be the highest form of cruelty. What do you think?
Well, I think that's probably right, because, you know, just to say somebody learned to live with it when they're going through a tough time, it doesn't come across, I guess, as real sympathetic, compassionate, because when you're in the midst of that unwanted circumstance, especially when it's new, you know, and particularly myself, I didn't want to learn to live with paralysis. It wasn't what I wanted to hear from people. I wanted God to change my circumstance. I wanted him to heal me. And so, you know, when I say learning to live with it, my story is kind of it's a process. And I tell people this often, that acceptance is a process. I didn't just wake up one day after this happened and say, okay, I've accepted it, now let's go on. It was a process in which God used his word. He used people, used experiences. The Holy Spirit obviously worked a great miracle in my life. So there was just a lot of things that came into play to really get me to the point where I felt like I was able to learn to live with. And if we were going to be honest, you know, I'd say there are still times, 31 years since the accident happened, that I wake up and, you know, I don't want to be paralyzed every day, but I am. And so I kind of go through that process of learning to accept it and decide, you know, each day when I get up, you know what, I'm going to accept this and go on and try to make the most out of my life. And really, learning to live with it, the first step was acceptance, and just trusting God, saying, okay, God, you know, whatever you have for my life, wherever you want to take me, wherever you're leading me, wherever we're going to go, it's going to be okay, because I know that you love me. I know you're a loving Father who wants the very best for me. And so because I had that view of God, I feel like I was able to, you know, have that outlook on my circumstances. And then later it became, okay, how can I really live, you know, really live life, not just accept it, but get out and do something, get out and make something out of my life and out of my circumstances. And
in fact, if you could pick up right up on that very important point when we return from our midway break, not just accepting it, but learning how to live life to its fullest and to the glory of God. If anybody has any questions, send them to chrisarnson@gmail.com. This is the longer than normal break, so please be patient with us, folks. And we'll be right back right after these messages from our sponsors. Please don't go away.
Why can't we see God?
How do we know we picked the right Bible?
Why do we go to church on Sunday?
Parents, if your kids have questions about God's Word and His creation, they would love to read our new Reformed magazine called Ignited by the Word. This magazine is packed full of devotionals, Bible stories, church history, poems, activities, and more to encourage you and kids of all ages in their walk with God.
Created by a team of teachers,
ministers, mothers, fathers, and more, we know how important it is to have Christian literature in our homes. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free.
Attention all men in ministry leadership. You're all invited to my friend Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon, Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, featuring me, James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, your keynote speaker. Not only will you enjoy a wonderful time of fellowship with your colleagues in ministry over a delicious meal, but you'll also receive dozens of free brand new books donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom, personally selected by Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So if you're a pastor, an elder, a deacon, a parachurch leader, or any other man in ministry leadership, please register for the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon today by calling 631-291-7002. 631-291-7002, or by visiting ironsharpensironradio.com, ironsharpensironradio.com. This is James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, hoping to see you Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, for Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908 866-796-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, president and professor of systematic and homiletical theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. You have to say you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything. So we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself.
Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here, excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading to Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference on the theme, Just Thinking About the Bible. The conference will be held Thursday, September 15th through Saturday, September 17th. And I'll be speaking along with Stephen Lawson, Josh Weiss, founder of G3 Ministries, and Daryl Bernard Harrison and Virgil Walker, co-hosts of the Just Thinking podcast. To register, visit g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and click on Events. Your registration will include a ticket to the Museum of the Bible nearby the conference venue in Washington, D.C. So join me and Chris Arnson September 15th through the 17th in Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference. Register now before they run out of seats at g3min.org. That's g3min.org. Stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please, folks, never, ever forget to make solid-ground-books.com your very first stop for all of your gift-giving needs for Father's Day, for wedding celebrations, wedding anniversaries, for birthdays, for graduation gifts, for going back to school gifts, for condolences that you want to extend to those you love who have lost a loved one of their own. Any reason that would compel you to purchase a gift for someone you care about, go to solid-ground-books.com first. Purchase generously and purchase frequently, always remembering to tell them that you heard about them from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to Kevin Olson, a quadriplegic Christian who has written a book called Learning to Live with It, I have just a couple of more very important announcements to make. First of all, if you love this show, you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, I'm urging you, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. And if you prefer mailing in a check, a physical check, the old-fashioned way, by going to your local postal service, well, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you go to ironsharpensironradio.com and click support, and you can make your checks payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio if you prefer snail mail. Remember, folks, I never want anybody listening to give the church where you are a member, the biblically sound, Christ-honoring church to which you belong, I never want you giving them less money that you're accustomed to giving them in order to give us some money. In other words, don't punish your own church by blessing us financially. Also, if you are really struggling to survive, I don't want to be responsible for plunging your family into further financial peril and taking food off of your dinner table. So if you're really struggling seriously, wait until you are more financially stable before you give a gift to us, because those two things are commands of God in Scripture: providing for your church and providing for your household. Providing for my radio show is not a command, but if you do love the show and you don't want it to disappear, and you do have extra money collecting interest in the bank, extra money for recreational purposes and for trivial purposes, then please share some of that money with us by going to ironsharpensironradio.com and click support, and please help us as much as you can. We are in urgent need of your help, and I would appreciate your prayers, as I am now still awaiting the answer to two advertising proposals that I have provided for two potential advertisers who have expressed interest in either beginning a new ad campaign with us or renewing an old one. So please pray that those sales go through soon, because we are in urgent need. And if you would like to advertise with us, as long as they're, that whatever it is you're advertising is compatible with what we believe, you don't have to believe identically with me, but as long as you are promoting something that is compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign, because we are in urgent need of your advertising dollars too. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Last but not least, if you're not a member of a solid, Christ-honoring, a doctrinally faithful church, no matter where on the planet Earth you live, I have extensive lists of faithful churches spanning the globe and may be able to help you find a church, as I have already done with many listeners all over the planet Earth in our audience. So if you are in that predicament of not having a faithful church home that is honoring to Christ in the Scriptures, or you know someone that you love and care about in that position, then send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Kevin Olson on his book, Learning to Live With It, which chronicles how his faith gave him victory over his circumstances being a quadriplegic. And I also want to remind or inform Cindy from Findlay, Ohio, and I believe it was Ronald from Eastern Suffolk County, Long Island, that you have each won a free copy of this book, Learning to Live With It, thanks to the generosity of our guest, Kevin Olson. So please provide your full mailing addresses, and we can get those books out to you. Thanks to our friends at CVBBS.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, who will ship those books out to you at no cost to us or to you. We are back, Kevin, and you are really just beginning to discuss how you went from merely coming to grips with the physical condition that you would likely have to remain in for the rest of your life on earth. And you transcended from that place to actually learning to live life to its fullest into the glory of God in those circumstances. If you could continue what you were saying before the break.
Yeah, sure. I thought of a story I wanted to share. While we were on break, the last caller mentioned something about, you know, sharing the word live with it to somebody who might be going through a circumstance, and how, you know, that may sound kind of harsh in some ways. I wanted to, kind of go back and tell you how I got the title, Learning to Live With It, because it was all, it's all kind of intertwined, and just, you know, the way that God worked in my life after I became paralyzed, I feel like is just miraculous, and especially the way he used little people, kids. You know, I eventually went on to work in a grade school and at a youth center, and to be a youth pastor. And so I worked around a lot of kids, but probably the first thing that happened that I thought was real just profound was I was sitting in the backyard of my mom's house, and I'm the oldest of five siblings, and the youngest one is 19 years younger than me. And so when I became paralyzed, he was just learning how to walk. And so a couple years down the road after, you know, I'd been through 9 months of in the hospital and in rehab at Craig Hospital in Denver, Colorado. And, you know, they taught me how to use a sip and puff wheelchair, and they taught me how to use a mouse stick. At that time, you know, computers were just kind of coming onto the scene, but the voice-activated ones were really expensive. So, you know, I really just didn't know what I was going to do when I came home. And my friends were playing ball and working on the farm, and so it was kind of a tough adjustment. And I just began to pray and ask God to show me, you know, what it was that I was supposed to do. And so I kind of went up and down like a roller coaster at times on feeling like I was going to be able to live a good, worthwhile life. And sometimes, you know, I'd get in these moods where I'd have my pity parties and think, you know, I don't want to have to live the rest of my life this way. And so it was kind of up and down there a little bit. But, you know, I'd always go back to that moment underwater when I asked God to give me a second chance and to let me live. And so I knew that God had a reason for me to be alive, and there was a purpose for me. It was just a matter of kind of trying to figure out what that was and what I could actually do. And so one of my life mottos became just to do what I can with what I have, where I am at. But so I began working with kids, and I started to, you know, go out and speak and tell my story and begin to write down things. And at the time, you know, writing down was not, you know, I couldn't obviously pick up a pen, write those down. I had to roll up to my computer and grab a mouse stick that was mounted on the top of the table, pick that up with my mouth, and just start typing on a keyboard. But during all of this, as I was doing this and trying to figure out life, I was sitting, you know, in the backyard of my mom's house, and my little three-year-old brother at the time, the youngest one of the bunch, was playing in the sandbox, and I was watching him, and it was 75, 80 degrees. I was enjoying a beautiful day, and a bird flew by and dropped a big old pile of you-know-what right on my right shoulder. So I hollered out to my little brother because, you know, that was a circumstance that I didn't want to be in. And so I hollered out to him. I said, hey, will you come here? I need your help. Because three-year-olds, you know, they're pretty helpful a lot of times, or at least they want to feel like they're helpful, even if they aren't really all that helpful yet. But he loved, you know, to take my shoes off at night. When they'd put me in bed, he'd like to try to untie them and that type of thing. So hollered out at him, and I said, hey, James, I need your help. And so he stood up and brushed a little sand off and waddled over there to where I was. And he said, what do you need? I said, well, you see that stuff there on my shoulder? I said, I need you to wipe it off. And I didn't want to tell him what it was, you know, because I didn't know if he'd know how he'd respond. But he wrinkled up, he reached up there, and he was just about getting ready to wipe it off, and he froze. And he said, what is that? And I told him, you know, well, I just watched me in the sandbox. Bird flew by. This fell out of the sky. This big pile of, you know, right there on my shoulder. It's got to be bird poop. Well, he jerked his hand back, and he wrinkled up his nose, and he said, ew. He said, I'm not touching that stuff. So I said, well, okay, we'll go in the house and get Mom. You know, because Mom will take care of stuff for you like that when your little brother won't. But I'll never forget what he said when he went, before he went into the house. He looked at me in that real stern little three-year-old, you know, voice. He said, I'll go get Mom. But if she don't want to wipe it off of there, then you're just going to have to learn to live with it. I'll never forget that, because, you know, in my mind, it was just like, God was putting a huge exclamation mark at the end of a big lesson he'd just been trying to teach me. And that was that there are sometimes things in life that we have to learn to accept them. And when we can't change them, you know, we got to learn to live with them. And Mom came out, you know, and she took care of the problem. But I wrote my book because I just wanted to challenge people out there who are going through unwanted circumstances that maybe if they couldn't change, even though they want to, you know, that they learn just to live with those unwanted circumstances in such a way where, you know, they first be able to accept them and then be able to live life in such a way that, you know, they might be able to make a difference in the lives of other people and live for God. And so, you know, that little 3-year-old, you know, who had obviously probably heard from mom, you know, sometime when he didn't want to eat his carrots, he's going to have to learn to live with it or deal with it, or, you know, very, very young, we learn that. There are some things in life we just can't change. You know, first it meant accept, and then it meant, you know, go on and try to do the best you can with what you have. You know, even though you don't have everything that you want, you might wish that life was different, you know, still you do have what you have. And God, you know, I feel like God doesn't expect us to do more than we can. He only expects us to use the abilities and talents that we have. And so many times we sit around thinking about all the things we wish we could do or the things that we wish that we had, and, you know, try to bargain with God. And I don't know if you do that or not, but sometimes I'm like, God, man, if you would just do this for me, think about all I could do for you. So, you know, God just really taught me that we just got to do what we can with what we have right where we are and try not to worry about all the rest. So that's kind of my challenge, you know, to everybody. And the reason why I wrote the book is because God has taught me these things, and I wanted to share them with other people who might be going through unwanted circumstances that they're having a tough time accepting and going on with because of the fact that, you know, that they can't change it. So it's a tough thing. And, you know, I was able to take that harshness from a little 3-year-old learning to live with it, you know, like you said. But anyway, I just wanted to share that story, and that's actually how I got the title of the book.
And it's a great story. We have an anonymous listener who says, some of my closest friends are Pentecostal and charismatic, both in the ministry and in the pulpit. I'm sorry, in the pew. And I was wondering how I can approach them about their mistaken beliefs that if a person has strong enough faith, they will be healed. I also was wondering if you, just like a guest that Chris Arnson has had, Justin Peters, who initially, after realizing that he would be paralyzed for life, began attending faith healers before he came to realize that this was a false and dangerous practice.
Oh man, that's a tough subject because it does cause some division. But you know, I feel like I kind of went through a little bit of that right after becoming paralyzed. I had some Pentecostal friends who they'd come, they'd pray for me and tell me to do this or that, and they're, man, here's I guess the point that I eventually came to. You take out all the fluff, it's all about God's timing. You know, do I still believe that God could heal? Well, sure, I believe God can do, you know, miracles in our lives, but I believe it's about his timing. And if it doesn't happen here on this earth, then it will happen.
Praise God.
I've come to realize that this life is temporary, and that God is more concerned with my eternal comfort than my temporary comfort. And yeah, you know, I look at the miracles. I went through the New Testament, looked at every miracle, and tried to figure out, you know, why did Jesus do this miracle? Why did he do that one? You know, and I looked at the people involved and thought, wow, they showed faith. And so, you know, if I show that same kind of faith, you know, then maybe I'll get his attention and I can get him to, you know, a miracle in my life. But, you know, I look at scriptures like in Mark 2 where the paralyzed man was lowered down through the roof. You think about that. The first thing I got to say is, I don't know if you've ever tried to lower a paralyzed guy down through a roof. But if my friends came to me and said, hey, you know, we want to take you over to this house and we're going to lower you down through the roof. First off, I'd be, you know what? Didn't Isaiah say something about waiting on the Lord? Let's just wait, you know, wait right outside the door. But then, you know, what did Jesus do to the man? He, he did a healing, but first he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And I think there's a couple things there that we can learn, and that is the most important thing is that Jesus is in the business of forgiving our sins and healing us on the inside. And, you know, whether a miracle happens on the outside or not, you know, it's always going to be temporary. That guy that was healed there that day, eventually his body wore out again. So, you know, I don't know that I have necessarily an answer to even some of my own Pentecostal friends, but I have been told before that I didn't have enough faith, and that if I did have enough faith that, you know, that I'd be healed. And I've been told that maybe there was something wrong with me, maybe something in my life that I needed to get rid of.
You have been told that.
So that I could be healed. But, you know, you think about it, how do we receive from God? We receive our salvation by grace, right? Through faith, and a miracle. You know, we can't do anything to deserve a miracle.
Right.
God does what he does, out of grace.
Right.
And so, you know, it's all about his timing. It's about his grace and his will. And whatever that is going to be okay.
Amen. And there's a difference between believing that a sovereign God can do anything he wants to do and can and does perform miracles, and believing that there are men who are miracle workers. Those are two different things. And obviously, it is an act of cruelty and even a heresy to tell someone that if their faith was strong enough, they will definitely be healed. There's nothing in the scriptures that teach that. And I believe that those types of evangelist preachers and self-proclaimed healers are very dangerous to the body of Christ and to the souls of men. So, by the way, I don't know if you're familiar with Justin Peters. I strongly urge you to go to justinpeters.org. He is a fine brother in Christ that I've interviewed on this program many times and also is wheelchair bound for the rest of his life and has been a profound encouragement and inspiration to many people, whether they are healthy or disabled. So I just recommend that to you and everybody listening.
So thank you.
And another listener, we have BB in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, who wants to know, Chris Arnzen mentioned Johnny Erickson Tata in the beginning of the program. I was wondering if you knew Johnny, if you have received comfort and encouragement from her teachings, and if you have ever worked with her on any project for evangelism.
You know, I've never had the opportunity to meet her. I do know that I've read a couple of her books, and they have been inspiring, and just seeing what she's done over the years has been an inspiration to me, you know, as well as a few other, you know, people that I know that have been paralyzed. But I have to tell this story too, because it was a typical dad thing to do after I became paralyzed. He asked me, he's like, "What in the world were you thinking when you dove off that dock?" And obviously, you know, I wasn't thinking about the consequences, but, you know, we've all had parents who were, you know, when we were teenagers, we do something kind of dumb, I guess, and our parents are like, "What were you thinking?" You know, and that's kind of what my dad was that day, but he followed that up with, "Don't you remember watching that movie about Johnny Erickson?" And so I was like, "Yeah, I remember that, but, you know, I just wasn't happening to be thinking about that." So yeah, I mean, I watched the movie and knew about her before, definitely was inspired by her after I became paralyzed as well.
Amen. Let's see here. We have Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania, who wants to know, do you find your day-to-day life is dominated by sadness and regret over your circumstances or joy and thanksgiving?
Dominated by? you know, I feel like God has done an amazing miracle in my life. Like I started out the story talking about how his spirit, you know, has just worked an incredible miracle in my life and given me strength and grace and comfort that I just can't explain. If you had told me before I became paralyzed that I'd be here today and be able to be happy and wake up every day and want to, you know, want to get out of bed and want to do things and want to make the most out of my life, I'd have told you that you're crazy because I just couldn't see it. But I do believe that my life, even though it's not free from those struggles, and there are days when I, you know, I am depressed and discouraged, I feel like for the most part, you know, my life is good, and God has given me a lot to be hopeful for and to be thankful for. And I think that's one of the keys, is just the learning to focus on the things that God has given us, the things that we have each and every day, instead of dwelling so much on the things that we don't have. I know that makes a huge difference in my life when I learn to focus on what I do have versus what I don't have.
Great. By the way, all the folks who have sent in questions, you too, are going to receive a free copy of Learning to Live With It by Kevin Olson, thanks to his generosity. So make sure that we get your complete mailing address, including the anonymous listener. Make sure we have your full name as well. We won't divulge that over the air, of course. And Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, will ship these books out to you. No charge to you or to us. Joseph in South Central Pennsylvania wants to know, I believe it will be highly encouraging to our listeners who are disabled, who are paraplegic or quadriplegic, especially, if you let them know the great news about the amazing developments in technology and even that which enables you to create websites and other things in spite of your disability.
Well, it's changed a lot over the last 30 years. I think the computer that I first started working on in the rehab hospital in Denver, probably a $20,000 computer, and just had a little tube that you blew or sucked in, one or the other, to type a letter, one letter at a time. And then it had... they had another one with a little bit of voice capability. But now you can get an Apple computer, iPhone, tablet with voice capabilities built right into them without buying any additional software. And a lot of times that is what I use, you know, to communicate emails back and forth with potential clients. And I do... You know, it's got to be quiet in the environment that I'm in. So I pull up to my computer, and I have two things set up here. I have a microphone that I can talk into to actually pretty much do anything on the screen that you would do if you had a touchpad or a keyboard and a mouse. And then I also have a mouse stick, which is basically just the 18 to 20 in stick, a mouthpiece on one end and a tip on the other that I can use during the times when I actually do have to physically push a button, move the mouse, or click on something. But I've found that the combination of those two things has been a big help for me. If you're not a Mac user, Windows computers have a thing called Drag and Dictate that you can install on your computer, and it is a voice-activated software that works really well, too. I do recommend either one of those options, that you do some training, watch some YouTube videos about, you know, how to work them, because there are so many keywords and things that you just have to know how to do in certain orders, things you have to say, and if you don't do that, it can become pretty frustrating, but those are the two main technologies that I like to use.
And as I was telling you before the show, the technology is so remarkable that a brother in Christ whose name should be very familiar to most Reformed Baptists listening, Johnny Farisi, who is now in heaven for eternity, he had a disability that rendered him completely immobile, with the exception of his ability to speak with great difficulty and to move his eyes. And he had some kind of a computer system where he was able to manipulate the computer through his eye movements. And he actually built websites as well for a living. And he created the largest database church directory of Reformed Baptist churches in the world through this technology. So that's also should be an encouragement to our listeners. When it comes to evangelism and sharing your testimony, I know that you are available to be a speaker at churches, at schools, at parachurch organizations. Can you tell us not only how our listeners can go about scheduling you for one of those events, but also if you have any anecdotal experiences you can share about disabled people who have been highly blessed by what you have had to say?
Well, to your first question, if you want to get a hold of me, I have one website set up right now that it's learningtolivewithit.com, that people can go there and, you know, order a copy of the book if they want to, or my email is down at the bottom of the homepage where you can contact me directly through that. My email address, if you don't want to go there, is kevinaolson@yahoo.com. Just be willing to talk to you, respond in any way that you might want or need to via email. Or you can go to that website, which is learningtolivewithit.com. You know, I've had the opportunity to go around and speak at a lot of churches, schools, and I suppose probably the most rewarding for me is always, I don't know, I guess it's changed over the course of my life. When I was younger, in my 20s, doing this, I really got to feel like I was influential in a lot of young kids' lives who, you know, in their decisions and in their faith and that type of thing. But as I've gotten older, you know, I enjoy kind of getting, I guess, to talk to people who are, you know, maybe not even disabled. Maybe they're just retired and they're struggling with, you know, what am I going to do now? My life for 40 years has all been wrapped up in my job, and that's been my purpose. But now, you know, now I'm retired and struggling with that. So, yeah, all throughout, I guess, the course of my life, I've felt like I've been able to relate to people in all walks of life and in all situations and circumstances, because I feel like, you know, we all face unwanted circumstances, no matter whether we're disabled or not. And so I'd say that, you know, that has given me, I guess, the ability to kind of open the door to talk to a wide variety of people and just feel like, in many cases, just to be an encouragement to a lot of them, just to keep going and not to give up on God and just knowing that He loves them. I feel like that's the big thing right now. My wife and I work with an FCA group at our local high school and middle school. You know, she's a high school, middle school teacher and a volleyball coach. And we have the opportunity about once a month to just share the gospel message with a group of kids. And many of them, you know, it's sad that in our country, here in Kansas, in the Bible Belt, most of our kids don't go to church on a regular basis. And so we're able to share the gospel with kids in that setting that might not ever get to hear it. So, you know, it's just good in so many different, to be able to go to so many different places and relate to so many different types of people and share my story and the things that God has done in me and through me. And he wants to do it for everybody, not just me.
Praise God. And we do have another anonymous listener who says, I have a strong disagreement with a friend of mine who allows his children to be involved in very dangerous and reckless recreational activity. And I was wondering what your thoughts were on that. I know that there's an old saying, boys will be boys. We don't want to feminize our sons. But at the same time, there is a limit to what kind of recreational activity is wise. I was wondering what your thoughts were on that.
Well, I mean, that's going to be a tough call because, you know, boys don't learn to think about the consequences of things, and typically they go out and do things without thinking of the consequences, just like I did. So when I go and speak to a group of kids, I basically tell them this. I say, you know, there's a difference between wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge is knowing something, and wisdom is being able to apply it. And just being able to teach kids, you know, that there are consequences to your choices, and to teach them to learn to think about what they are doing. So many times they do things to, you know, just show off for other friends or whatever, and never think about what might happen. So that's kind of my guideline, is that I try to encourage kids and parents to teach those kids to learn to think about the consequences of their choices. I'd hate to get involved in, in specifics and saying, well, this isn't safe and this is. But learning to think about consequences is a big thing to me.
Yeah, and I'm assuming that in regard to recreational activities that are considered very normal and healthy, like diving in to water and swimming, I'm assuming that you would very strongly warn our listeners, not only for themselves, but perhaps parents who want to warn their children, that they have to be very familiar with the body of water that they intend to swim in and dive in before taking a leap into that water. You know, if you're going to be diving off a cliff or something like a lot of kids do, depending upon where they live, you're going to want to make sure that other people are doing that on a regular basis and not having difficulty, that there are no rocks with shallow water in that area. Am I making sense here? I mean, isn't this something that we have to be very diligent about when warning people about something that is a very common activity that could be deadly?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's something, you know, that we all do. And I had done at that particular dock several times, but you just assume nothing's going to happen to you, and then it does. So, you know, I tell people, don't just sit on the couch and do nothing with your life because you're afraid that you might get hurt, but definitely be cautious. Realize that God has given you a body, and you're supposed to take care of it. So I guess within the people that I've talked to, they're in that club of quadriplegics or paraplegics who, in a diving accident, there's kind of a thing where, you know, feet first time is when you're talking to kids and trying to teach them. So definitely would be my advice there.
Well, we have to go to our final break. It will be much more brief than the other breaks. If you have a question, send it in immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. We'll be right back with Kevin Olson right after these messages.
Gain
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here, excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading to Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference on the theme, Just Thinking About the Bible. The conference will be held Thursday, September 15th through Saturday, September 17th. And I'll be speaking along with Stephen Lawson, Josh Weiss, founder of G3 Ministries, and Daryl Bernard Harrison and Virgil Walker, co-hosts of the Just Thinking podcast. To register, visit g3min.org. That's g3min.org and click on events. Your registration will include a ticket to the Museum of the Bible nearby the conference venue in Washington, D.C. So join me and Chris Arnson September 15th through the 17th in Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference. Register now before they run out of seats at g3min.org. That's g3min.org. Stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there.
If you're near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Art Amundson, an Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you build a strategy to help make sure your finances keep up with your long-term needs. Do what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Visit edwardjones.com. That's edwardjones.com. Or call 717-258-4688. 717-258-4688. We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio are forever grateful for the generous financial support of Art Amundson, Edward Jones financial advisor in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Call 717-258-4688 today.
As a mother, I was looking for a magazine that would include devotionals that I could quickly do before school and had theology and doctrine made very simple for children to understand that they could read themselves or I could walk them through. There's tiered content so that you can go to the older group and learn more or go to a younger section and it's even more simple. Join us on our journey in developing our magazine entitled Ignited by the Word, which engages and ignites the hearts of our children and young people in their walk with God. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free and put good literature in your children's hands.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth Love Parent and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Iron Works, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. We have Robert in White Plains, New York, who wants to know, Chris Arnzen, the host today, has a number of times used the word disabled. Is that something that is offensive to you? And what kind of language should we use when we are having a conversation with somebody who may be in the same condition that you find yourselves in, by God's providence?
Well, I'm not a person who gets easily offended at, you know, at words. Whether somebody wants to refer to me as being disabled or paralyzed or any of that, personally, it's not something that bothers me. I've come to terms with that, and that's okay. I can't speak for everybody else out there, but personally, no, it doesn't make a difference to me at all.
So you don't demand upon the term physically challenged or anything like that? That seems to, at least it was in vogue for a period, but I still see signs in different parking lots that say handicap parking. So it still seems to be a part of our vernacular.
Yeah, my own personal opinion is, you know, we kind of live in a society where everybody's too worried about, you know, a lot of things that really don't matter a whole lot. So, in my own opinion, that is a small thing.
Well, we have, and by the way, Robert, get us your mailing address, because you've also won a free copy of Learning to Live with It by Kevin Olson. And cvbbs.com will be shipping that out to you when we get your mailing address. Please conclude our program with about 90 seconds worth of what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today, Kevin.
Well, I was praying while we were on break there that God would give me something to share. And I guess what I'd like to share is Romans 8:18 says our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that we will be revealed in us. And when I think about that scripture, you know, I often, over the course of my life, I've wondered, you know, all the questions that I don't have answers to in this life, you know, when I get to heaven, man, I'm going to ask God, I'm going to ask him why this and why that. But, you know, the older I get, the longer I live, the more I realize that all this is temporary and that God has a great and wonderful plan for us. And the things that he has in store for us when this life is over is not even something that we can imagine. And Romans 8:18 says that our present sufferings are not even worth comparing what God has planned for us later and what he'll reveal into us. And so, you know, when we get to heaven, I don't even know that I'll even care to ask God why, you know, he allowed me to go through the things that I've gone through, because I might be so busy enjoying what he's got playing for me up there that I won't even care.
Amen.
So I just want to encourage everybody out there that's going through some type of a tough time, unwanted circumstances, maybe that you can't change, you're trying to live with them, and maybe you're struggling, just remember, you know, that everything we face here is temporary. And what God has in store for us, you know, is something that nobody can steal from us.
Amen. Well, remember, folks, Kevin has a couple of websites, kevinolson.net. He spells that the Swedish way, by the way, and I forgive him for that, being half Norwegian. It's Kevin Olson, O-N at the end. And also, learningtolivewithit.com, learningtolivewithit.com. You can also purchase his book at cvbbs.com. Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com. I want to thank you so much, Kevin, for being an extraordinary guest. I look forward to you having another interview on this program and many more in the future, God willing. I want to thank everybody who listened, especially those who took the time to write. I hope you all have a very safe, happy, and healthy and Christ-honoring Memorial Day weekend and Lord's Day. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.